Peter, thanks so much for your time.
Great to be with you.
So this doesn't seem to be an issue that would all of a sudden crop up out of nowhere. So how did we get to this point?
Public policy is often very unpredictable, but one thing that is actually quite predictable is that when you have babies, they grow up into being primary school children, then secondary school kids, and eventually they'll move on to tertiary education. What's happened in New South Wales, also in Victoria, though, is you have to take a long view. During the 1950s and 60s, populations were absolutely booming and there was a lot of building. But through the 80s and 90s and the early 2000s, actually the number of children in schools was not increasing, maybe even shrinking. And so departments and education ministers got used to the idea of saying we don't need new schools. Actually, sometimes we want to rationalise small schools and sell off the sites. This started to change in 2006. There was a mini baby boom and also high levels of immigration. But that didn't really get picked up until there was pressure on preschool. That was in the late 2000s. By about 2011-12, it was hitting primary school, and that was the period when the politicians were slow to respond. But it was predictable at that point that there was a much larger wave of school children coming through the system. And it took about 4 or 5 years for politicians in Victoria and New South Wales particularly to say, wow, we need a big building program. It's great to see that the parties in both states are now doing that.
And so what do you think is the best way to handle overcrowding? Do you think we need to build more schools or to just grow our current schools?
It's very much a local situation test that when I did my analysis, what was fascinating is that across New South Wales, over a decade, there would be about 16% more students. And so, you know, if you had a class of 20, then that might be going up to about 23. That's actually pretty manageable on average. But the detailed picture is nothing like that. That in central Sydney, in a couple of North Shore suburbs, but particularly across Western Sydney, there were a number of suburbs which were going to be seeing 40, 50% growth over a decade. So suddenly, if you've got a school of 500, you might need a school of 800 or 900. And frankly, many schools are not designed or set up well to take on that extra number of students. And then at the other end, you've got a whole range of suburbs and regional areas who are saying, hang on, we're not seeing any new school kids. What do we need to be spending all this money for? Part of the political challenge. So in the inner city, what's most likely is how do you maximise the value of the land that you've already got? And that probably means building upwards because the limiting factor is scarce land. If you're in the western suburbs, land is a little bit cheaper, where you've got, in a sense, a new suburb growing up around, which is going to need one or two primary schools and a secondary school. The challenge there is how do you build a primary school and then a secondary school to be the beating heart of that new neighbourhood. And so much more thought needs to go into the design of how do you integrate maternal and child health care, the other services that families need, how do you make it a community hub linked to jobs, etc. There's no one simple answer. One thing's for sure, it means a lot more classrooms, a lot more teachers and a lot more money.
And so the state government has come out, speaking of money, they've announced that they're going to be spending $4.2 billion for building and upgrading 170 schools by 2031. In 2016, though, the Grattan Institute estimated that New South Wales would require at least 213 new schools by 2026 to cope with population growth. Do you think that the funding and the building and upgrading of the 170 schools is going to be enough?
So one small point, I said it would be about 213, and actually it would be less than 213 if existing schools could take on some more students, and probably they can. I didn't have that data. not at all. The building program that they've announced is in the ballpark, and let me explain to your listeners why. When I did the analysis, I said, I'm not worried about whether they're government schools or Catholic schools or independent schools. I'm worried there's going to be a school and a teacher for every kid. So of that 213 number, If we look at the historic data, roughly 2/3, 70% of them would probably be government schools, and then the remaining 1/3 non-government. And so this recent announcement is just about the government schools. So that takes 210 down to maybe about 140. And that 140 was over a decade. They're talking about building or upgrading 170 over just more than a decade. You know, if they are building and planning relatively larger schools than I put in my model, if they have thought out carefully which schools might be able to take extra kids and where you'd have some new classrooms built, it's quite possible that the 170 is the right number. It's also possible that they are going to need to find some more money over the coming years. But it's actually fantastic to see that they are doing an investment that is in line with the scale of the challenge ahead. And that wasn't the case a few years ago, and they should be commended for it.
Well, you know, that's definitely some positive news coming out of it, because it doesn't seem to be a lot of positive news when we do talk about this topic. So if the potential consequences of overcrowding, if the situation continues as it is and nothing changes, what's, I guess, the worst case scenario for school kids?
So there's two parts. One is that if schools have a maximum capacity, and if a local primary school or secondary school is at that capacity, then they have to start turning away kids, and the government system has to find a school for each child somewhere. But a school that's in demand might keep restricting its boundaries and keep saying, I'm sorry, you have to live closer and closer to that school. And therefore, for the family and for the child, they may have to travel further. The other side, so there may be disruption in the schools that people want to go to, and they may not be able to get into them, and they may have to travel some distance. The other side is what happens inside a school. But there's not a lot of good research on this. In fact, the only stuff I could find was from Brooklyn in New York in the 1980s. But what happens when you have a school that is operating above its capacity? And that does seem to be happening in some schools. You know, we hear stories of classes being held in corridors. What the research said is it gets, and unsurprising, it gets noisier. It gets more disruptive, it's more stressful for kids, it's more stressful for teachers, less time is spent on learning, it's not as good a learning experience. So making a school larger is almost certainly better than keeping the school the same size and trying to jam-pack more kids in.
And so just before I do let you go, Peter, with everything that we do now, with everything that we do know, everything we've discussed, moving forward, what would you ideally to see any, I'd like to see any future funding go to in terms of fixing this problem?
What I'd love to see is that the number of new schools that is needed stops becoming a partisan issue. Of course, politicians love cutting ribbons on a new school or an upgraded school, and that's never going to go away. But as I said at the beginning, this is one of the more predictable things. It's not easy to predict, but we should be running the numbers as a nation and saying, where do we need schools? They should get built when they're required. If that's not required for 5 or 10 years, then government should say, well, let me acquire the land while it's still cheaper, rather than having to pay top dollar later on, and make this as routine an investment. And federal, state treasury should just say, hey, part of the consequences of a booming population and having such a great city is we need to keep building infrastructure. So make that business as usual. And then we can get on to focusing, how do we use all of those classrooms, teachers and schools to deliver a fantastic education for each kid?
Peter, thank you so much for your time this morning.
Thank you, Tess.